service tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening at the closing of this day. We have the second privilege to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the body of Christ, universal. And Father, we thank you that as a people, we have the beautiful future awaiting us when the Lord shall return and in all of his glory and majesty through the resurrection that we have experienced by faith ourselves, having been cleansed from all our sins, forgiven, made righteous in Christ forever. We thank you and praise you and we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray that our worship indeed may be pleasing to you, Lord. We pray that your word will be faithfully proclaimed. We pray that we may sing and give and listen and do all the things that take place in this service from hearts that are made pure in Christ through the forgiveness of our sins, and so that our worship may be acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you that you make it so because and through your Son, Jesus Christ, our ever faithful heavenly high priest who intercedes for us, his people, his sheep, under his hand of care and love and grace. Father, we pray, bless us, speak to us, and create in us faith if we don't have it already, so that we may all leave this place encouraged and with the resolve to proclaim the name of Jesus to anyone we can this week. And we ask, Lord, that you hear us for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We're going to read God's word, and the main chapter is Zechariah chapter 8, where we'll start, and then just a few verses from the book of Hebrews, because I read those verses since they are the fulfillment of what is being talked about in the prophecy of Zechariah, which took place around 500, roughly speaking, 500 BC, just after the exiles had returned from Babylon, is the setting for Zechariah's message that we hear this evening. So let's turn to Zechariah first. Zechariah chapter 8, and then also book of Hebrews 11. Zechariah chapter 8. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am zealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets, who were present on the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before those days there was no wage for man or any wage for beast, neither was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came in, for I set every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purposed to bring disaster to you when you fought, your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Here ends the reading for the passage in Zechariah, and then just Hebrews 11, 8 through 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Here ends the reading of the New Testament passage. Brothers and sisters, as you see in the bulletin, I entitled this message this evening, Let's Go to Jerusalem. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back, and if you'll just sign up, we'll all go. How's that? Well, that is the point of this sermon. We're not going. We're not going anywhere. We're staying right here. Because we are looking not for any city in this world, not even Jerusalem. We are looking for the better Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is to come. Jerusalem to which Abraham looked forward. When we look at the passage before us from Zechariah 8, we have to remember that in the previous chapter 7, there were people who came from the town of Bethel, and they came to inquire of the prophets and priests to ask them, after all these years had gone by, the 70 years of exile to Babylon had been completed, Not by any means all of them came back to their homeland. It was probably a minority portion of that total number that originally went there, but they came back and they were assigned a task to rebuild the city, specifically the wall of Jerusalem and the temple. And so as all of this is going on, about midway, this delegation comes from Bethel to ask the leaders of the day whether it makes sense to continue to have all these fastings. Because the fastings were originally intended to call God's people to continuous reflection and repentance for the sins that brought on their very exile. And as you read that passage, the Lord, as it were, argues with that sentiment and says, well, did you do it for me, all these fastings now all over all these years, or were there other reasons behind it? And so as we are in this phase of God's people back from exile, building the city, building the wall and the temple, we see that the good news is made clear in this answer to this delegation. This is no longer the time for fasting. It is the time for feasting. It is the time to celebrate. Because God has returned, it says in our text, to his people. And the same word that is used in Hebrew for the word repentance is used where it says in our text, to return. God returns. As it were, he repents from what he originally needed to do, quite justly so. But now, he says, I come to my people and I am promising them this renewal. And that's also my first point. So we have looked at the setting for our passage. It takes place around the year 500 plus years, 530 or so, that all of this takes place. God has said he is returning to the city of Zion in verse 3. I have returned to Zion and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. That is remarkable. In light of the very severe discipline that the Lord executed upon his people, the measure of God's patience was full. The cup was filled up to the top of his patience with his people who were in the continuous habit of disagreeing with the Lord, speaking against his spokesmen, the prophets, obstructing everything that they were supposed to do according to the law given by God through Moses to them. And so they have experienced this hardship. And how should they now respond and continue to live their lives? And the message is, celebrate. God is showing his mercy. It is time to be aware, to confess that God has returned to his people. And when God returns to his people, it is the great reversal of everything that preceded. I have returned, verse 3 says, to bless Jerusalem. Jerusalem, city of peace, it means. The city will be transformed, and its people will be transformed. I suppose there are a number of us who have seen the ancient city of Jerusalem, and I wouldn't mind seeing it myself someday yet. And I'm sure that it is fascinating to be there. But as we're all familiar with the recent political struggles and military struggles that have taken place, we pray to the Lord sincerely that this peace agreement will hold and will be executed. But however beautiful Jerusalem is, it certainly is not the city where we put our heart and soul into it. No, we are looking once again to the city that is far greater, far more beautiful, the city above. When the judgment took place, it was severe. When the Babylonians came, and this all happened not in a few days or weeks even, there were phases of this exile taking place, but the most important people, shall we say, the most educated, talented, they were all taken to Babylon, like Daniel and his friends. The city was in ruin. And the way to describe its transformation in this ancient context is for the Holy Spirit to direct the prophet to give this description. When I return, when the day of salvation comes, when the day of renewal and restoration comes, old men and women, boys and girls will populate the city. And is there anything more beautiful to be in a place that is serene, a place where there is calm and quiet and prosperity, as opposed to the scenes and the sights that we may also be familiar with if we have done any traveling, whether it be abroad or here in the United States, the downtown areas where the homeless reside, where the drug needles are found, where it's not safe to walk, to be. This city of man, as Augustine put it, cries out for the city of God. We want to live in a city, as it were. We want to live in a place where the seniors among us can be seniors and the children can be children. And so we are anticipating that. We look forward to it if that can happen to some measure in this world, and we say, thank you, Lord. But we know that wherever we live, together we are looking forward to the greater Jerusalem. The greater Jerusalem, where the city is not just transformed, it is new. It is everlasting, and its people are too. You and I will live there. World without end. Well, those days are future for us too. Future, as they are spoken to these ancient people, they are still future for us as well. But there is also, of course, the sense of their fulfillment. But we live in that anticipation. We live in the anticipation that Jesus will keep his word, that he will fulfill his promises to us, that he will come again. And this is one of the purposes for my sermon this evening. We need to be heavenward focused people. It is good to live life, to do your work every day, whether it's at school or in the business, at home. But we also know that we do all these things, as we say, for the glory of God. And the glory of God is accomplished every day when you are doing God's mission and purpose for you, in anticipation for the glory of God revealed when the heavens break open and the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings returns with the entourage of all his angels. And we'll live together in a new world. We live in the tension of the already and not yet, as we say. We are already God's people. We are already the temple of God, because the temple in the New Testament is the metaphor for the body of Christ, which is you and me. And so as we belong to the temple of God, we know that the presence of God is with us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. I want to remind our young people of that, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. Nothing can go wrong for you. We mess up, obviously. We do things that are wrong. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your young faith, and the faith of all of us who are older, then nothing, as I said this morning, can interfere, can break that apart. There is no power in this world that can do that, not even Satan, who is very powerful, and he is allowed to be for a time yet, until it's over. We live in that tension of experiencing the brokenness of this world, while at the same time we experience the fullness of Christ living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. We are his redeemed people. We are forgiven. We have been cleansed from all our sins, past, present, and future. So how do we keep that hope, that anticipation alive? Well, in the word of our text, I would say it's repeated twice. The second mention of it is in verse 13. Fear not, let your hands be strong. We're called to faith. We're called to be strong Christians. The world doesn't need weak Christians. The world needs strong Christians. It needs men and women who make up their minds to be followers of Jesus in word and deed. How shall the world know that there is a world to come, a better world, unless by our words and our actions we live it every day? We want to be men and women who grow in the awareness that something much, much better than what we can ever experience in this world, and God has allowed us to experience many wonderful things, family, friends, church, everything that you can come up with. But the best is yet to come. We are on our way to Jerusalem. Let's go. Let's go. And let's bring others along with us. We need to be strong. We need to listen to those whom God has assigned the task of bringing his word to his people. We need to pray for the ministers in the churches. We need to pray that they keep their eyes focused on Jesus, that they understand that they have been called very clearly, and that they stay focused, and that together with the elders in the church and the deacons, collaborating, doing the work of God, it's not our mission, it's not our church, it's not our kingdom, but together, one and all, members here in the church, together, we are on our way to Jerusalem. We are kingdom of God people. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord over every square inch that he made. He is the Lord of his kingdom, and we are blessed and privileged to be a part of it. The time will come when all these things that are prophesied in Zechariah 8, that they're going to be fulfilled. And of course, they have been fulfilled in part. Because the reason why I encourage us today as New Testament, New Covenant Christians to pursue heaven is because we have the hope of heaven within us through the work of Jesus Christ, who is the hope of the Old Testament. A believing Jew would be looking forward to the fulfillment of these promises that are made in various places, including, and first of all, Genesis 3:15, that one day he will come who will conquer and crush Satan's authority. And so we are the people of the new covenant. We are the people of the eternal kingdom of God. And so, therefore, we know that the time will come that through Jesus and his death and resurrection, the fullness of the promise that is given here will be realized. So don't give up. Be strong. Not hold on to your faith. Sometimes we put it in those words, when we talk about things, but trust in Jesus' faithfulness, because he is the one who's holding on to you. And we may not even always notice that, do we? Sometimes the Lord allows us to go different ways and directions, but he is the one who is covenantally faithful. He is loyal. And that is an encouragement to us parents and grandparents, isn't it? When we have children or friends or relatives who are wayward, who are not walking in the ways of the Lord, we plead with the Lord, but we can also know that the Word of God, these seeds that have been sown into their hearts and lives, it will not return void. The Lord is in charge, and the Lord knows what he is doing, as he is following not your and my timetable, but his. And so when you are stretched in your faith, when you say, as it were, Lord, hurry up, then be humble. Know who you are dealing with. It is the Lord of glory. It is the Lord who is able. He is so powerful that in a word, the Son is created. In a moment, if you will, the universe comes into existence. That's the God we're dealing with, a mighty God. The gravity of his being, his holiness, his majesty is infinite. He is the one who says to us tonight, be strong. Not in yourself, not in your tradition, not in your church for that matter, but be strong in the Lord. Lean and depend on him, because he is a promise keeper, isn't he? God always keeps his promise. So as these promises find their fulfillment ever so gradually in the Old Testament into the New Testament, we are the heirs of that process that has not yet been finished. It will be finished when Jesus comes again. But we are standing on solid ground as New Testament Christians. We stand on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can interfere with the successful outcome of our following Jesus step by step, day by day. Christ is coming again. The world is coming to an end. But the new beginning has begun. The old is gone, the new has come, Paul says. And that is particularly true for us who are believers. The old, meaning life as we know it in this world, the principle on which this world operates in its fallenness, is that everything alive will die. Everything that you make breaks down. But through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, eternity has been secured, so that we know that as we live in this temporal world, we are part of a much bigger world, a much more beautiful world. We just don't have the privilege yet to see it and to taste it and to smell it. But God gives us glimmerings of it, doesn't he? He gives us pictures, if you will. When you have a nice time with family and friends, when you are comfortable, when you're peaceful, when you have harmony, these are forebodings of that life in that city where we all want to be desperately, the city above. It's because Christ kept his word. The one who was born in Bethlehem is also coming again. And when he comes again, then it will be for those who believed in him. It will be for those who are not only Jews, but also Gentiles, you and me, for the most part, I imagine. He will come for those who have heard his voice and who have responded by faith, declaring him Lord and Messiah, King of Kings. He tells us tonight, roll up your sleeves, get to work, pick up a brick, and build a wall of the New Jerusalem. Because God, in His wisdom, is building that city. We thank the Lord for His great goodness. Why would we fast? Why would we not celebrate? Why would we not be joyful Christians in the anticipation of that which is to come? Heaven is coming. Jesus is coming. The one who laid down his life, the good shepherd laid down his life for you and me. And as we place our trust in him, we know that the one who laid down his life took it up again by his authority. And he is the one who rules and reigns in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And from there he directs and he determines every single aspect of your life. What a Savior we have. He is full and filled with glory. He is the one under whose banner of victory we live. Feast. Feast in that victory and that conquest. Claim His lordship over every area of your life. Celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ. Celebrate the victory of the city that is coming, the life that we will experience today. As we think of family, of school, of society, other areas of life, that Jesus would be Lord, that He would direct the matters and the affairs of mankind, that we would pray for our president, that we would pray for those who are in authority over us, on whichever level, federal, state, or local, in the home, that the glory of Jesus will reign and that it will shine. The one who promises the renewal has kept his promise in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are called to pursue it. We are called to pursue. We are called to let's go. And we're called upon, through the Great Commission, to call upon the nations, to call upon all our family members, people that we work with, live with, play with. Come along with us. Seek the Lord. And God, in His amazing wisdom, He will also create the opportunities for us to be called upon, where people will say, there's something different about you. I want to go with you. That can happen in a high school setting. I remember Dr. Godfrey was converted in high school. The Lord is at work, saving men and women and children, boys and girls. And it doesn't matter what age it is. And so we call upon the nations. We call upon our unbelieving friends and relatives. Come along with us. Let us show you a better way to live. We don't live for money. We don't live for status. We don't live for power, influence. All these things are fine and dandy. But what drives us each day, what gets us up in the morning, is none of that. It is that through all those things we glorify God, that His name will be exalted, because what we do today has something to do with what is yet to come, so that everything that we do is meaningful. That is our world and life perspective. The things that are honorable and noble to do and accomplish, they have an effect in eternity. And so the one who has promised, kept the promise, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and He calls us, His people, seek the Lord. Seek His favor. And is that characteristic of us? Is it characteristic of our faith that we entreat of the Lord? That we seek the Lord on a day-to-day basis? That we come before the Lord and say, Lord, I seek your presence. I am in great need. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your discernment. I'm having a rough life. I'm having difficulties with my children or whatever it may be. I have a challenging opportunity. But whatever it is, Lord, I seek your face so that through what I can do, your name will be honored. I entreat you because you have shown your favor upon us. You have shown in Jesus Christ that you are with us, Emmanuel. The very thing that it says in the final verse of our text, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Is that what your unbelieving neighbor and friends knows about you? Is that what comes to mind first and foremost? You and I are persons, ordinary as we may be, but that we are persons who, for whom the gravitational point is him, for his glory, as Paul describes it that way in the opening chapter of his letter to the Ephesians. The Lord is coming again. We are the inhabitants of that city that is yet to come. Let's pursue that city. And let's call others to join us on the way to Jerusalem. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly, so that we may, together with your people, enjoy eternity as you are preparing that for us even now. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we give you praise for the bright future that awaits us. All because of you, all because of your grace, all because of your Son, Jesus Christ, willing to come and live in this world and be a part of our humanity, except for sin, and so be the one who mediates our cause and our case in your presence every day on the basis of what he has already fulfilled. And so, Lord, we thank you for the prospect. We thank you for the hope that is within us, that beyond the difficulties of this world and its challenges, that we have the hope awaiting us that Jesus is coming again and that we shall live forever with him and all those who in this world came to love him and obey him. Heavenly Father, help us in that, because in ourselves we're weak, but with your Spirit and through the guidance of your word, we will know how to live for you. Help us to have that confidence and that courage to live boldly as unto you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The offering will be received at this time.